much for that. All right, guys, we have four more storytellers this half. I know I said we had seven total, and you already saw four. What? Somebody join? What a crazy show this is. But first, before we get to that, gentlemen, we have a returning champ to your stories. It's been a little while, but this dude did a handful of shows last year, and it's been a real treat to see his storytelling prowess grow, and man, I just love this guy. I'm so happy he's back. Please welcome Brian Willie.
All right, so multiplayer. It was the summer between senior year of high school and college, 1986. Try to imagine the time. The only things on my mind were having a good time and doing the absolute minimum needed to graduate with a C average. I had a job, a car, a girlfriend, and a large group of friends. I also had a legendary ability to buy beer due to the early gray at my temples. With a serious, mature bearing that worked well around liquor store clerks and cops. The point is, I was not at all interested in or concerned with my younger brother, Ed. Nor was he interested in my life at all. We hadn't really communicated in 2 or 3 years, despite living in the same house. Our bedroom separated by a thin wall. Sometimes we'd notice each other in the form of conflict, when a household resource was low. Epic but brief battles were fought over the last of the toilet paper, nearly empty milk cartons, cereal boxes with a single bowl left in them, and the Atari, Jesus. Sometimes we'd borrow a vinyl record or a game from each other, but that was always in the form of taking without permission. It was guaranteed to generate a brush war that would leave my parents gnashing their teeth and asking, why couldn't we all just get along? My brother had his own life, and it didn't affect me. Until it did. My friends and I were suddenly getting pulled over a lot more often. The always overly zealous Buffalo Grove Police Department seemed to be everywhere, making it difficult to buy beer. And hard to drink it outside on nice summer nights. Just gathering in a group to talk at dusk was enough to attract a police cruiser, shining a spotlight on us, asking us pointed questions, and telling us to move along. Something was definitely up. The wasp's nest of police had been shaken, and we were suffering the consequences. Turned out it was my brother and his friends who had stuck their finger in the collective police eyeball. Tired of being told to go outside where there was nothing to do, they had decided to make their own fun. And that fun consisted of making different kinds of Molotov cocktails and lighting up streets, tennis courts, and the walls of commercial buildings. Now, a Molotov cocktail is a gasoline bomb, a poor man's grenade, named and made famous by Finland, of all places, during their war with Soviet Russia as a way to light up Russian tanks. Ed and his friends started with a glass Christmas ornament, filling it with gasoline and sticking a cloth wick in it. The experiment was a success. Lighting up a patch of road, they moved on to Coke and beer bottles, which they fished out of the trash, filled with gasoline, jammed a rag into, and threw after setting the rag afire. It did not really occur to them how incredibly dangerous this is. YouTube is full of videos of protesters and poorly armed combatants having Molotov cocktail mishaps, which result in a thrower being set ablaze with gasoline. But YouTube didn't exist in 1986, so they were on their own. Although common sense would have helped that bash. Really, it's a miracle that any of us survived to adulthood without the internet or bike helmets. I don't know. Anyhow, the merry band was aware of the increased police presence and wisely decided to stop throwing the gasoline bombs in their immediate neighborhoods. The last few times they'd had to run almost immediately as they could hear the PA from the fire department announcing the blaze, and the police were there with incredible speed. Now, I know that in Chicago, you can't buy gasoline unless you have a red jerry can to put it in. You can't just walk over and buy gas and put it in a freaking Tupperware container or a bottle. I'm not sure if the whole state's like that now, but it definitely was not the case when my brother and his friends were up to their arsony hijinks. So, they decide to try their biggest Molotov cocktail yet, and they go over to the gas station with a glass 1 gallon cider jug from Jewel. They fill it halfway up while one of the guys loudly and repeatedly yells that, now they have gas for their go-karts. Ha ha ha! So they waited until the hot summer day became a hot, humid night, and they took that gallon jug over to the rear area of a small strip mall. They jammed the cloth in it, lit it, and my brother shot-putted it as hard as he could, as it was too heavy and unwieldy to be thrown in a normal Molotov cocktail fashion. It hit the back wall of the F&M cosmetics store and exploded with the white-hot intensity of a thousand suns. The boys were taken aback by the heat and the light. The entire back lot of the strip mall was lit up clear as day, and the four of them could be clearly seen by surrounding apartments. They heard sirens immediately. They scattered and ran as fast as they could, through backyards, into hedges, over gazebos, across parking lots. It was terrifying, but exhilarating. A massive adrenaline rush. They all got home, and none of them got caught. Too much heat now, so the boys took the rest of the summer off. I went off to college, and eventually my brother and I got to seeing each other again and talking, and he told me this story, which explained a lot. I didn't know what to think then, and I still don't really, as I was more of a dreamer than a doer. Still kind of true. And never someone who would vandalize property or risk a fire getting out of control. Most of my illegal activities were what you'd call victimless crimes, with only myself at risk. But I can definitely understand the boredom of suburban life when you're too young to drive, there's nothing to do, you have limitless energy, and you know you're going to live forever. Nobody got hurt, and none of the fires got out of control. And to be completely honest, we complained about the cops, but this is way before we knew just how dangerous they were. I would strongly counsel any teens listening to this podcast not to antagonize their local police, especially if they live in a small town. But for me and my friends, avoiding them and pulling the wool over their eyes was half the fun of going out. Maybe more like two-thirds of the fun. So we really weren't that put off by Ed's antics. In the end, the boys all decided to use their powers for good. Goodish. Two joined the military. One became a cop. And the last became an engineer. I think for them, the summer of fire was like a real-life aptitude test. Thank you.
Dang, for a second I thought there was going to be like a twist in that story where you were telling a story about your brother, but you were the one throwing the cocktails. I'm pretty glad that wasn't the twist. Holy shit. What a story. All right, so I don't think that this has happened since we were is that your brother up to his answers? All right. They heard this podcast. It's live stream. That's not it.